up that would change the Constitution to institute a 4% privately owned land value tax that would fund a residence dividend along the lines of the Alaska Permanent Fund dividend. So that would definitely be an affordable housing proposal.
Thanks, Jeff.
I have a question about, I hear a lot about like housing market forces talked about in a way that seems like there's somebody pulling the strings. And I hear a lot of other consumer choice conversations that kind of recognize the power of the consumer. And I'm interested in what you would have to say about making like ethical housing choices as somebody, as we all, will probably make a lot of housing choices in this city and have made a lot of those choices. Like how, given that not all of us can work in housing policy,
right.
What can we do in choosing where we live and who we purchase from to make help the system along?
And we'll see about getting the response from that panel on the website at kboo.fm. This is KBOO Portland. The time is 10:01 a.m. Coming up next, we hear Flashpoints. Investigative news radio from our brothers and sisters, cousins and so on. At KPFA in Berkeley. And we thank them for that. And I thank you, dear listener, for tuning in to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM, Hood River and the Gorge, 104.3 FM, Philomath and Corvallis. And of course, streaming over the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM. Then, later on, at 11 on the Digital Divide, part 5 of Startup City, how the new tech boom is changing Portland. Interviews with Retraction Watch co-founder Ivan Oransky and Tom Schroeder, author of the controversial book Acid Test, LSD, Ecstasy, and the Power to Heal. Another big thank you to all the members of the KBOO Foundation. What? You're not a member? Well, go to kboo.fm right now and click where it says Donate Today and walk you through a safe, convenient, easy, and secure web form to make your fully tax-deductible 501c3 type investment in community media. That's right. Stay tuned now for Flashpoints on your community radio.
Flashpoints, we continue our drumbeat coverage of the police drug gang kidnapping of 42 students in the Mexican state of Guerrero. Also on the front lines of the battle for net neutrality, we'll speak to a medical doctor who confronted FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler as he tried to leave for work, blockading his driveway in the process. Also, roll out the royal carpet. Here comes Jeb Bush, ready to rock and roll for president. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoint. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, the parents of some 43 Mexican students who disappeared 7 weeks ago have started a nationwide bus tour in protest at the government's handling of the case. Hundreds of supporters joined the convoy of demonstrators in southwestern Guerrero State. It came after violent protests this week. As anger over the issue mounts, the students vanished after clashing with police on, I think they simply got attacked by the police and shot by the police and arrested by the police. And who knows what else happened? That's what everybody's trying to find out. Again, we're going to continue to talk about this today. There's going to be some protests happening over the weekend. We want you to know about that and a lot more about what's going on the ground. Let me tell you who's with us now. We are delighted to have in the studio Gloria La Riva. She has been watching this very closely. She is with the Answer Coalition here in the Bay Area. And we're also joined by our own Francisco Herrera, who just got back from Chiapas, from Mexico, and is back in the U.S. We're always delighted to have him with us, and we're going to still try and reach Frank Lotta, who is also supposed to join us soon. Let me begin with you, Gloria. Welcome back to Flashpoints.
Thank you very much, Dennis. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, it's good to have you with us. I know you've been monitoring the various news services, the Spanish-speaking news services. What can you tell us about the latest? We heard that there's this caravan of parents and their supporters heading to Mexico City. This can only lead to more confrontation, and we're going to see what happens. But your thoughts on this now?
Yes, the caravan is actually three massive routes going through different regions of the country.
Tell
and they are
that.
Going to join together in Mexico. I'm very glad to see that there's one going through northern Mexico, especially through Chihuahua, where there's also been a lot of violence. The 100,000 people who have died by narco traffic gangs is nothing new, but the massacre of what we believe is a massacre now, even though they're not found yet, of the students has, I think, tipped the whole balance and is what has set off a whole outrage throughout the country and also among people here in the United States, especially in the Mexican community. So it's only going to grow, this opposition and militancy. Even the very big business media, Univision, the famous commentator Jorge Ramos, called for Peña Nieto, the president's, resignation the other day. And that was even before Peña Nieto went on his tour to China and Australia. He's still out of town.
To look presidential.
Yes.
While ignoring his responsibilities, his duties in a situation that is of rising concern to many, many Mexicans. And we're seeing this all over the country, right? This is ignited a situation where there are concerns in the U.S. government that they might have to send in troops.
Well, we would have to always, in the United States, be opposed to any U.S. intervention. But actually,
they're talking about it.
Yeah, but there's actually been military intervention by the U.S. ever since the Zapatista uprising in 1994 through the Operation Mérida, the funding of billions of dollars to professionally train, like the School of the Americas, the Mexican officials. And I think what people have suspected for many years in Mexico, I think, is finally confirmed that this is a narco state, what's taken place, and the complicity of governors. We have to wonder about the presidency. It began with Carlos Salinas de Gortari, his brother Raul, during his presidency of 88 to 94. It turns out had laundered $95 million of drug money in the New York City Bank, Citibank. And it's only increased, multiplied exponentially since then.
And even as that was revealed, he was sort of welcomed as an international banker.
Oh, yes. Yeah, but see, we really can't talk about the crime in Mexico without the talking about the motive of profit there. That's the same motive of the New York banks, the London banks that have laundered literally billions of dollars from Wachovia, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, that know that the money that they have laundered has paid for planes to bring in thousands of tons of cocaine, of other drugs into the United States, meth, and has resulted in so many people dying in Mexico.
And free trade has provided a wonderful cover for these operations.
Well, it's really what caused the whole situation. When you had 1994 and what has turned into an corn importing country that used to produce all its own corn, the agriculture industry has been wiped out in Mexico, and that has created a giant vacuum which drugs has filled. and the enormous corruption. Nobody can have faith in any police force, no military, no police. And it's going to lead to, I think, a rise in revolutionary activity in Mexico. There already is some in Oaxaca, Guerrero, and other areas, but certainly people will look more and more to the radical left for solutions.
That's the voice of Gloria LaRiva. She's working with the Answer Coalition. They've got a number of protests that they're putting together. We're going to tell you about that in a little bit. Joining us on the telephone is our own Francisco Herrera. Welcome back, Francisco.
Hey, thanks a lot, Dennis. Hola, Gloria. Hi to our radio listeners.
Well, it's good to have you back with us. We know, as we spoke a couple of days ago, you're not long from Chiapas, driving through Mexico, monitoring the situation down there. Your thoughts as the situation evolves, as these multiple bus excursions, these protest tours, if you will, to the capital unfold, your thoughts? I know you're following it very closely.
Yeah, you guys, it's one more, it's an example exactly of what Gloria was just saying. We're definitely in an explosive moment when people are organizing very intensely throughout the country. Just having talked with some folks from Michoacán, and behind closed doors, even the National Human Rights Commission people, it's pretty clear people have completely lost faith in the Mexican government. Peña Nieto, the president, and his wife are in China, there's even messages saying, don't come back, stay there. And so there's a very clear national and international call for the president to resign. Like Gloria said, this has become very much a tipping point for no belief in the government. I think to call it a narco state, though, even though it's very accurate, but it also puts the attention away from the responsibility of our tax dollars, though, because like Gloria said a little while ago, people knew this was going to happen, Dennis, back in the 1990s when they were debating the free trade agreement that Clinton signed. And so I think our job here is very clearly to pronounce and to demand no more intervention from the U.S. Obama's playing it very cleverly, trying to set up the situation where, oh, those poor Indians in Mexico don't know how to govern themselves. They're so corrupt when everything has been fueled from here. It's been financed from here. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is exactly NAFTA on steroids. So I think we bear a grave responsibility to look at our government, at our own corruption, just like the Princeton University study that just came out yesterday, I think, that declared basically the U.S. is no longer an official democracy. We are now an oligarchy. So I think it's time for us, the citizens, people who live here, not people who have citizenship, people who live here in the U.S. and pay taxes, we really need to start looking at our own corruption and really demand no intervention, no more intervention, because they're already intervening in Mexico, and no Trans-Pacific Partnership. Let's get rid of free trade, because it's not free. We're paying for it with our lives and with our blood.
And Francisco, in terms of the president being out of the country, the fact that the mayor and his wife are supposedly under arrest, but nobody knows why or what they're going to be charged with or what their involvement is. I mean, it's confusing, and it also points to the fact that it's the same old, that in fact it's about stalling and protecting a narco government.
Right, and it also has to do with who's gonna. It also has to do with the politics between Mexico and China and the U.S. and who's gonna get what part of the oil in Mexico. Who's gonna run the oil? The U.S. Already controls the railways. Mexico. The president made a deal with. Made a deal with the company that built his fancy house, which has now become a big scandal. That company was given the job to do the railway between Mexico City and the city of Querétaro. So there's a lot of business as usual going on between Mexico and China, Mexico and the U.S. And Obama's right in the top of that. He's the imperial president, after all. And so he's right behind all that stuff. And there's a lot more than him stalling by going to China. It has a lot more with this whole issue of control of the oil in Mexico.
And Gloria, you want to talk a little bit about party politics here. What's the role of the PRD in this?
Well, first, I want to confirm exactly what Francisco said about the oil, that that was going to be the legacy of Enrique Peña Nieto when he came in. He was determined to see the privatization of the oil, which really the United States oil companies, the banks actually do control the giant reserves of Mexican oil, starting with most intensely debt negotiations during Clinton's administration, but certainly it was just going to be handed over now, which is, it's underway. But the legacy of Peña Nieto will be the continued massacres, death, and destabilization within Mexico. But it's very interesting because the PRD, the Democratic Revolutionary Party that arose supposedly as a alternative to the PRI and then also the right-wing PAN government, it's one and the same of the other two. The mayor of Iguala, who ordered the police to grab and the youth to hand them over to the gangs who presumably have murdered them, is from the PRD. In fact, he's the head of the Nueva Izquierda wing of the PRD, meaning New Left. It's not left by any means at all. He's extremely corrupt, and there have been massacres before under his mayorship for years now. And the one